A whopping 313,000 new jobs added in February, but wage growth is MIA. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. 313,000 new jobs in February. That is way more than economists expected. The unemployment rate is steady at 4.1%, and markets seem pretty happy about it. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 140 points. That's 0.5%. The S&P 500 is up 0.5%. The NASDAQ is up 0.6%. Chris Lowe is chief economist with FTN Financial in New York and joins us now. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Sabri.
So markets are obviously loving the job growth we saw in this report. But at the same time, there is this concern that if the Federal Reserve, which is also watching these jobs reports, if they think that the economy is heating up too fast, they might raise rates. You've said markets don't think that the Fed is likely to put on the brakes after this report. Why is that?
Well, because even though there were so many people hired, there actually was an enormous increase, 800,000, in the number of people looking for work. And it kept the unemployment rate stable at 4.1% for the fifth consecutive month. That's a historically low level of unemployment. It's the kind of thing the Fed gets nervous about because they're worried we're going to run out of workers. And, you know, even though we added 313,000 workers this month, that there's no shortage evident.
So a lot more jobs, but also a lot more people looking for jobs. So we aren't seeing the tightening that might spur the Federal Reserve to act. What about wages? Wage growth the month before, back in January, that kind of scared markets, but doesn't look like that's happening this time. What's going on with wages?
The annual rate of wage inflation actually declined from 2.9%, which was a 10-year high, to 2.6%, which is a number the Fed's likely to be comfortable with. But the work week was longer and weekly pay was up. We should see a decent gain in income. The workers should be happy with this as well. They've got a little more cash in their pockets.
Yeah, it's always ironic when markets are thrilled about lack of wage growth.
It is. And thankfully, Sabri, we heard from Fed Governor Lael Brainard this week suggesting the Fed might be thawing a little bit on its opposition to wage growth. So that's good news, too.
All right. Well, Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Sabri.
Toys R Us filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy back in September. The plan was to reorganize its business. But earlier this year, it closed a fifth of its U.S. stores, and now we have news, according to Bloomberg, that all Toys R Us stores in the U.S. are shutting down. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra has been following this for a while. Mariel, what happened to Toys R Us?
So this all goes back to 2005, when the company was bought by a group of private equity firms. They loaded it down with billions of dollars in debt, and Toys R Us never got out from under it. So as you said, it filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy last year. And that type of bankruptcy, it doesn't mean a company shutting down entirely. It's more like an emergency break. It temporarily protects the company from its creditors, everybody it owes money to, the banks, the suppliers. But then those parties all have to come together and agree on a payment plan. So now Bloomberg is reporting that those talks are not going well. And as a result, Toys R Us may just liquidate the 700 U.S. stores it has left.
That's a big deal. I mean, Toys R Us is such a household name. It's a huge retailer.
Yeah, it's one of the country's top toy sellers, brings in about 15% of toy sales. And it's known for giving toy makers a place to innovate, to try new things, because it carries a wider selection of toys than its competitors like Amazon and Walmart. Toys R Us also employs tens of thousands of people in the U.S. So if this happens, they will lose their jobs.
All right. Mariel Segarra, thank you so much.
Thanks.
President Donald Trump says he'll meet with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. That would be a first for an American president. Asian markets rallied on the news. Kim Gamble reports on the Korean Peninsula for the newspaper Stars and Stripes. She joins us now. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning, Sabri.
Is the fact that Kim Jong-un has invited President Trump to speak with him, is that a vindication of U.S. sanctions on North Korea?
Well, there are two schools of thought on that, and certainly there is evidence that the recent imposition of sanctions by the Trump administration is starting to have an effect in the sense that, you know, they've choked off a lot of their coal exports and their oil imports. They've also pressured China to squeeze them more. However, the North Korean leader said in his New Year's Day address that he feels that they have completed their nuclear force. So he may be coming into this with a sense that he has achieved that parity as an equal.
In past negotiations with the U.S., North Korea has made a lot of economic demands. They've food aid, for example, or lifting of sanctions. Do we know what they want this time around in particular?
They haven't made any specific demands that we know of. However, North Korea has been an expensive negotiating partner in the past, certainly. So in the previous breakthrough, which was agreed to in 1994, the U.S. agreed to provide them with a light water reactor in exchange for, you know, interim steps to prove that they were willing to stop their development of nuclear weapons. That, of course, fell apart. And the North Koreans also have sought humanitarian assistance in the past. So one can only presume that they would be looking for a level of that kind of funding as well.
Kim Gammel, reporter for the Stars and Stripes newspaper, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Our engineer this week is Brian Allison. And I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.